Okay, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Free Association. This may become a round table. It may just be me playing videos. Not sure yet. Alright, I think I've got the wrong notes in and I don't think I can change them. No, I can't, can I? So let's not worry about that. Let's just play Boris Johnson live at Prime Minister's Questions, and that's a problem. To relay PMQs live. But for some reason, Podbean thinks that I'm doing that now. Hiya, Jack. How are you doing, man? If you wanna join in, feel free. Otherwise, I'm just playing videos. But you're welcome to chat if you want to. Okay, no worries. I'm gonna find Boris Johnson from this afternoon's Prime Minister's Questions because that's in the notes, and I didn't realise it was going to be in the notes when I set this up. But there you go. Gives me something to play. So. It's going to be more than 28 seconds. This afternoon, Boris Johnson song clip. So 57 minutes after. All a bit improvised. Yeah. Okay, if you're not familiar with Prime Minister's Questions, Jack, it's weekly in Parliament, and people get to ask the Prime Minister questions. Usually it's Conservative Prime Minister, so the Conservatives ask easy questions and set him up for what he wants to say, and the opposition usually asks a bit tougher questions, but this is how it went this afternoon.
It. We will be taking on further apprentices, and we've just taken on a kickstart worker and somebody from the care leavers scheme.
We now come to Prime Minister's questions. I start with Caroline Noakes.
Question number one, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker, I know that the whole House will want to join me in congratulating Emma Raducanu, Joe Salisbury, Alfie Hewitt and Gordon Reid for their victories in the US Open. They've made the whole nation proud. Mr. Speaker, on Battle of Britain Day, we honour the legacy of those brave air crews who defended our nation. I'm sure that members will also want to join me in wishing you well, Mr. Speaker, for the G7 Speakers and Presiding Officers Conference in Chorley later this week. Mr. Speaker, this morning I had meetings with ministerial colleagues and others in addition to my duties in this House. I shall have further such meetings later today.
That's the standard what are you doing today question. And the standard what are you doing today answer.
Very expensive, more so when they are disabled. The children impacted by sodium valproate have suffered physically, mentally and indeed financially. When the Cumberland report was published, there was real hope that they would get support. However, On the last day before summer recess, a written ministerial statement indicated that recommendation 4 of that report would not be actioned. Can I please ask my right honourable friend to urge the Secretary of State for Health to look again at that and give the financial redress to the parents of those children that they so desperately need?
Well, friend, for her kind words, and on her substantive point, she's entirely right to raise the issues investigated by Baroness Cumberledge, and we've given the report full consideration and accept the overarching conclusions of the report, Mr. Speaker, and are committed to making rapid progress in addressing all the areas it mentions, including the one that she covers today.
We now come to the Leader of the Opposition, Keir Starmer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can I join the Prime Minister in his comments about Emma Raducanu, a tremendous success in the US Opens, on the Battle of Britain and on the G7 Speakers Conference? And Mr. Speaker, can I also offer my condolences to the Prime Minister on the loss of his mother? As I know firsthand, losing a parent is never easy. Mr. Speaker, how many extra hours a week would a single parent working full-time on the minimum wage have to work to get back the £20 a week the Prime Minister plans to take away from them in his universal credit cuts?
Mr. Speaker, first of all, I think it's I thank the Prime Minister for his kind words, but on his substantive point about universal credit, Mr. Speaker, it is absurd because the Labour Party, I'll give you a statistic, Mr. Speaker. Every single recipient of universal credit would lose their benefits under Labour because they want to abolish universal credit, Mr. Speaker. And I think that this House and this party should be, this government should be very proud of what we're doing and continue to do to support the low paid. And it was another Conservative institution, the living wage, Mr. Speaker, that increased the incomes of families on the living wage by £4,000 a head, Mr. Speaker. What they want to do, Mr. Speaker, is keep this country in lockdown, keep this country in furlough, without moving forward at all.
Keir Starmer.
Mr. Speaker, the Prime Minister didn't answer the question. The Work and Pension Secretary seems to think it's an extra 2 hours a week. So let me make it even easier for the Prime Minister. Is the correct answer higher or lower than that?
Mr. Speaker, what I can tell the Right Honourable Gentleman is that under this government, for the first time in decades, wages are rising, Mr. Speaker. Wages across the board are rising, and they're 4.1% up on where they were before the pandemic. In fact, I'm very pleased. Of course, what they want to do is to continue to take money in taxation and put it into benefits. We don't think that's the right way, Mr. Speaker. We want to encourage high wages and high skills, Mr. Speaker. And that is the difference between this government and the Labour Party opposite. I think it is a good thing. I think it's a good thing, for instance, that Costa Coffee is now paying 5% more than they were before the pandemic. And never forget, if we listened to Captain Hindsight, Mr. Speaker, Costa Coffee would still be closed.
Mr. Speaker, it wasn't a difficult question. The answer to the question, maybe it's silly, they say, it's a silly question. How much would somebody working full-time on the minimum wage have to, how many hours they'd have to work to make up for the cut, is apparently a silly question. The answer, I'll give the Prime Minister the answer to the question. It is much, much higher. A single parent could be a constituent working on the minimum wage, already working full-time, would need to work over 9 hours a week on top of their full-time job just to get the money back that the Prime Minister had taken away from them. Prime Minister, they are already working full-time. They've got kids. How on earth does the Prime Minister think they're going to find the time to work an extra 9 hours? In truth, Mr. Speaker, an extra day every week. How, Prime Minister?
Yeah. Mr. Speaker, I tell you what we're doing to support people on low incomes, not only with the living wage, but 30 hours of free childcare, freezing petrol duty, Mr. Speaker, extending the cost of heating allowance for 700,000 people across this country. But even more important than that, Mr. Speaker, for the low paid, what we're doing is seeing their way, encouraging measures to see their wages rise. We're investing in their skills, Mr. Speaker. We're investing in work coaches, Mr. Speaker. And there's a dividing line now between this government and the opposition. We want a high-wage, high-skill economy with controlled immigration, Mr. Speaker. And what they want is low wages, low skills, and uncontrolled immigration. That's what they stand for.
Starmer.
Let's test that right now. We've had three questions, and the Prime Minister hasn't answered one of them. And it's obvious why. The truth is that these low-paid workers can't work longer hours to get back the money the Prime Minister is cutting from them. He knows it.
Yep.
They know it. Yeah. Millions of working families will be hit hard, very hard, by the Prime Minister's universal credit cut. Yep. And the reason, Prime Minister, is this. Why would they have to work an extra 9 hours, a full day every week, to get that £20 back? It's because of his broken tax system. He's just said how good it is. So let's test it. After his national insurance rise, For every extra pound that these workers earn, his government will take more than 75 pence from them. That's why they have to work for 9 hours one day. Why is the Prime Minister? He just said how he's going to raise wages, what he's going to do. That's the situation. Why is the Prime Minister making a bad situation worse for working people by hammering them with a cut to universal credit and a tax rise?
Mr. Speaker, actually what we've done with our local housing allowance is increase by £600 the amount of money to be available to exactly the type of person that he mentions. But he attacks the plan, Mr. Speaker. He attacks our plan to fix the backlogs in the NHS that we announced last week. And I have to say, I thought it was utterly incredible that the party of Nye Bevan should have come to this House last Wednesday and voted against measures that would fix the NHS, Mr. Biden. And Mr. Speaker, it's quite clear that this is now the party of the NHS. They simply do not have a plan, Mr. Speaker. They don't have a plan for universal credit. They want to abolish it, and they don't have a plan to fix the NHS or social care, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Starmer.
Mr. Speaker, an unfair tax rise which won't fix social care and won't clear the NHS backlog is not a plan, Prime Minister. And the Prime Minister pretends he's no alternative but to hammer working people with tax rises and universal credit cuts. But that's not true. His approach means that a working single parent who's a qualified nurse would lose £1,143. A supermarket worker could lose £1,093. A teaching assistant could lose £1,081. But at the same time, the Prime Minister wasted billions on crony contracts, cut taxes for people buying second homes, and handed out super tax deduction for the biggest companies. That's not taking difficult decisions. That's making political choices. So why is the Prime Minister choosing to take a tax system that's already loaded against working people and making it even more unfair?
Mr. Speaker, it is absolutely ridiculous that he should attack the government over salaries for nurses when we put them up by 3%, Mr. Speaker, on top of the 12.8% rise that we introduced, when we're hiring 50,000 more nurses, Mr. Speaker, and when we're just putting another £36 billion into the NHS and social care on top of the £33 billion that this government invested when we came into office. We are, Mr. Speaker, 1 in 10, one in 10 of the people in this country is now on an NHS waiting list. They know that the NHS backlog needs to be fixed. They know that this government has a plan, and they know that Labour has got absolutely nothing to say.
I just wonder what the millions of people facing a £1,000 cut on low wages will think of that. This country's success is built by working people, but the tax system is loaded against them. The Prime Minister may not understand the pressures facing families across the country, but we do. And the reality is this: taxes on working people up, national insurance up, council tax up, energy bills, food prices, burdens on families, up, up, up. The Prime Minister, Mr. Speaker, needs to get real and understand the terrible impact of his decisions on working people across this country. Mr. Speaker, this afternoon, he has the chance to change course, to vote with Labour to cancel a cut to universal credit, and then to stop clobbering working people with unfair tax rises. Will he do so?
Yeah. Well, Mr. Speaker, let me tell. I think see the panto season has just come early. Which country?
Order. If it is, it's certainly behind you, Prime Minister.
Well, let me ask you, Mr. Speaker, since you're a man of great restraint and taste and judgment, which country has the fastest growth in the G7? Where is employment up, Mr. Speaker? Where are job vacancies at the highest level? Up, Mr. Speaker. As for wages, Mr. Speaker, they are up. Higher than they were before the pandemic. I listened to the Right Honourable Gentleman very carefully over the last fortnight. I'm told that he has a 14,000 word essay in gestation, Mr. Speaker. I don't know why he can't produce it right away. I mean, why does the world have to wait for the thoughts of Chairman Keir? Having listened to what he's had to say, his non-existent plan for benefits, for universal credit, his non-existent plan for health and social care, I can compress those 14,000 words to four, Mr. Speaker. Vote Labour, wait longer. Jobs is working, Mr. Speaker. Our plan for COVID is working.
Hey, come on, Cheryl. The Minister needs to count the number of words. Come on, Cheryl.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, be it farm workers or lorry drivers, my employers are saying they want more staff. What more can the Prime Minister do to increase the training and mobility of job seekers to help them into the jobs they need?
I thank my honourable friend, and she's absolutely right to point out to the problem of lorry driver shortages, which is affecting the whole world, from Europe to North America. What we're doing immediately is, of course, working to get out more licences. We're taking advantage of a post-Brexit freedom, I can tell that, so that all the young thrusters on these benches here with a post-97 driver's licence can now drive a vehicle with a trailer as well. Everybody can drive a vehicle with a trailer as well. But what we're also seeing, Mr. Speaker, after a long period of stagnation in wages for those in the road haulage industry, we're also seeing an increase, a long overdue increase in wages. And that, Mr. Speaker, is part of the same phenomenon that this government is introducing. And then...
Right, that's enough of Boris Johnson. I can barely cope with 10 minutes of the guy, so I've managed 20 nearly. I think that's probably enough, though, for tonight. Back next Wednesday with Prime Minister's Questions again. I think I'll make it a thing, if I can cope with it for any length of time. I don't know whether I'll be able to, but I'll try and make it a thing. Anyway, thanks for listening, and see you again soon.